Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it's about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hansen and Pat McClain would like to help you by answering your call. To join Allworth's Money Matters, call now at 833-99-WORTH. That's 833-99-W-O-R-T-H.
Welcome to Allworth's Money Matters. Scott Hansen.
And Pat McClain.
Welcome to our program. Glad you are with us. Both myself and my co-host, we're both financial advisors and have been so for a few decades. Just like to do this program to help people.
We try to help. We believe we're helping.
I certainly hope we're helping because it's been a big chunk of my life for the last 28 years
otherwise,
of this program.
This has been a very, very disappointing pursuit.
Hopefully people don't get to the end of their career and think those sort of things about their lives. Right?
Holy smoke. Did I waste all that?
But a bummer to go through life like that. It's not a good way to look at things anyway. But anyway, we're a financial program. We'll talk about financial issues and not so much about whether we've had can look back with fondness on our careers or not. Anyway, we got a great show because we're going to talk about some things that are just going on in the world of finance. And we'll take some calls. Pat, we have not had what's not been in the news much lately are two items. One, meme stocks.
Yes.
Right, with Robinhood and Reddit.
Yes, and my young adult children have not mentioned them for quite some time. Two of my kids were doing the meme stock thing.
They don't talk about it at all. So I'm guessing they're not making a bunch of money at it anymore.
That's my only barometer.
And the other thing is crypto.
A little bit of crypto in the news. SBF.
Sam Bankman-Fried, what's his name?
The guys in the know call him SBF, Scott.
Oh, okay. Even now? I mean, that's when they thought he was cool.
Yeah, Sam Bankman.
It's not quite so cool when you're a fraudster and you're in prison.
Yeah, and you actually have been considered witness tampering, and you have lost your ability to actually be on.
Wasn't he on house arrest in his parents' house?
And now he was out on bail, and now they said, "Nah, not working for you, bud. You have not followed the rules." In you go into the clink, and they said, based on his vegetarian diet, his attorney.
He's not vegetarian.
But the attorney said he's a vegetarian, and based upon—
He doesn't look like a vegetarian.
I don't know what vegetarians look like, but—
Well, for a young man, he was quite heavy.
Okay, but his attorney said that he is living in subhuman conditions, subsisting on nothing but bread and water, and the judge said, I don't actually think that's real. That's what I got a kick out of it. The judge says, I'm not going to go with that. So your petition.
Well, this judge has been following this guy for the time he's been on.
Well, that's the judge got tired of him,
of course,
and threw him back. So that has been in the news.
I think when I brought up crypto, it wasn't to hear about SB, whatever his name is, what his stay in jail's like.
Well,
I want to talk about.
I do find that stuff absolutely fascinating. One of my favorite television shows is called American Greed, where they talk about all these Ponzi schemes and things where people get taken.
They still have that on?
I don't know if it's still running. I was on a bicycle ride with someone, and he was telling me he listens to the podcast.
The American Greed podcast?
Yes.
Oh, that would be more interesting, I think, than watching television.
Yes. So anyway, but you do see a little bit of crypto in the news, mostly criminal indictments around money laundering. One just came up this last 2 weeks ago where the firm was accused of money laundering.
Well, wasn't that?
That was the whole idea behind partly how it started.
Yeah.
Was on the
how
Silk
am I gonna
Road.
Get this? Here's a way we can do. We can trade. And
yes.
Well, Bitcoin's about $27,000 a coin. Wasn't it up to about 60 or something like that?
I still don't quite understand it. I just still don't quite understand it. And maybe
well, the argument
I'm
earlier
slow.
Was that it's the blockchain, and people would confuse the, like, okay, I understand the, well, I don't quite understand the block technology, but I comprehend blockchain technology, and I can see how that can be valuable as far as storing contracts and that sort of thing. But just because Bitcoin's built on that technology, it would never.
They're not one and the same.
I don't know.
But you don't see that, and the meme stocks seem to have kind of faded away.
Although I did this, so this week there was someone in my office, and in the office I was chatting with them in the hallway, and they have an adult son who's in school and he's going to be graduating. Once they said he wants to be a financial planner, I said have him reach out to me when he's back in town. I'd love to have a cup of coffee with him. I say this often, and maybe once a year, probably you too. Maybe once a year, a college kid reaches out and I have coffee or something with them or breakfast. Or I'm always happy to spend time with young people or pursuing their future.
That Scott Hansen,
but it's very rare.
Yeah, that was Scott Hansen talking, not Pat McClain.
All right. Side note: I'm going to come back to this.
Okay.
Years ago, I was at a university promoting some event in that evening or whatever it was, and these were all seniors. They were all graduating. It was in the springtime. They were all graduating, and I said, I was in like four or five different classrooms. I said, if you want to get a job, I said, you're not going to get on the job board. I said, it's going to be through someone you know. I said, so what I would recommend is that you find somebody that in the field you want to go into, reach out and say, can I please buy you a cup of coffee? I'm a student in college. I'm about to graduate. I'd like to learn more about the industry. I said, and then when you have coffee with that person, ask them for a name or two of people. And I said, once a week, buy someone a cup of coffee. You'll have a great job by the time you graduate. And I said that, I thought, oh, crap. I'm going to have all these students reach out to me. I had one student reach out and schedule a coffee, and 2 days later, he canceled it.
Wow.
Out of several hundred.
Wow.
Okay, now back to my point.
Okay.
That's why I'm so disappointed with this younger generation.
That is,
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Plenty of very young.
No, anyway, so this couple in the office, they said something about their son wants to be a financial advisor. They said, yeah, because we gave him some money when he was younger. He'd buy and sell stocks, and he'd be buying this and buy this. And as they're saying that, I'm thinking, that is not that's not financial planning. That's not financial advice. It's trading. It's very different.
Yes.
And I think people, maybe's perception of our industry
is that it's trading.
Well, don't come to me looking for the hot stock tip.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, if you're talking to a financial advisor and they're leading with some great investment, it's the wrong advisor.
Yeah. The doctor doesn't start with a prescription.
Sometimes they do. They want to get you out really quick. Yeah, have some amoxicillin. Call me in 5 days if there's a problem. Okay. No?
Take this new drug, placebo.
No kidding. Anyway, let's take some calls here. Let's start off in Montana with Leslie. Leslie, you're with Allworth's Money Matters.
Oh, hey there. Great to talk with you.
Thank you.
I actually spoke to y'all a few months ago about lending some money to my son-in-law and daughter for some education funding.
Okay.
You guys were a great help, a huge help, and really helped guide me and put it in perspective. So I could give you an update on that if you'd like.
Sure. I don't remember the call.
I don't remember either.
But
no offense, Leslie. I'm sure if we met face to face, I'd never forget you.
I don't take offense at all. I feel like you might talk to more than just me a few months ago. So,
and what was?
But yeah, so they lived in Scotland, and he was going to be going to Harvard for grad school, and we're having trouble kind of figuring out how to finance it because they were hoping to sell their flat, and then they weren't able to. But long story short, you helped guide me with a great perspective on how to do that, and they were able to. Circumstances changed, so they have been able to sell their flat. So they just had to borrow some money from us short term that they're going to be able to pay us back for.
I do remember the call.
Not very often we have people in Scotland.
Only because it was
Harvard.
Quite
out there.
Yes, because it's a big problem in my family with kids living overseas
and then going to
being able
Ivy
to
League afford school.
Yeah, Brown. Princeton.
The best part of the call was mostly just talking about how nice it was to be in Missoula, Montana.
Oh, that's right. I recall that. Anyway, so what can we do for you this time?
Anyway, but that's not why I'm calling today, but your people were so gracious to let me call again to ask a couple other questions that I still had. And so one is just guidance on when to take Social Security for both my husband and myself, and some Roth conversion goals that may tie into the other.
How old are you, Leslie?
62. And my husband's 66. He'll be full retirement age in October, 66 and a half for him. We both retired last year.
And what is your income now?
So we kind of don't have any income now. So we've just been kind of a little bit limping along.
You forage for mushrooms in the morning? I mean, what do you mean?
Foraging for mushrooms. Yeah, exactly. Roadkill helps.
How much money do you have in your IRAs?
We have a couple million dollars in the retirement.
2 million?
About 2 million in, well, it breaks up. We have some Roth and just some 401k stuff.
Okay, well, break it down. Okay. It down for us, like specific.
I will.
Please.
Yeah, we have some money saved here. Yeah, a little saved.
Yeah,
right there.
I got some money here and there.
Okay, so break it down for us.
So I broke it up a little bit just with the Roth because that was part of my question.
That's right.
So in just
you're trying to figure out, should I convert to a Roth or start Social Security, right? I would think.
And both, yeah, exactly.
And right. You retired last year.
Correct. Yeah.
And now we're in roughly 8-9 months into 2023. Is retirement permanent?
Yes, retirement.
Okay. Neither one of you have a desire to go work for a wage anywhere.
They're too busy.
Self-employment income.
They're too busy foraging for mushrooms.
Yes.
Foraging for mushrooms takes up all our time, yeah.
So break down the where the monies are located and how much.
Okay. So we have, if we break out the Roth, we have about $2 million just in straightforward 401ks and traditional IRAs.
Okay.
And we have about $350 between the two of us in Roth. Then we have an investment just account with a brokerage that's about $550 and an inherited IRA that's about $110 and then cash about right now about $100,000.
And your home's paid for?
Paid for, yeah.
And what do you figure it takes a year for you to live?
We're kind of guesstimating probably $120,000 to $150,000, so about
after tax.
Yes, after tax, probably $120,000.
And so you're living on that now. Are you taking that from your brokerage account or IRAs or cash?
We aren't taking. Yeah, we just had it. We had some cash that was just kind of appropriated till we kind of got a plan in place. To be honest,
$3 million. So we got a corpus to work with about $3 million. And so 120, net of taxes, even 150 should be relatively easy,
yep,
even without the Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
With the Social Security.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of
it would be
5%.
With the Social Security. I think I'd do some Roth conversion this year.
Well, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then I'd probably consider Social Security for one of you next.
Right.
Or maybe even the year after.
Yeah, and that was kind of a question of what the pros and cons of waiting or not waiting. And I know you've
what's
had
his social
really great point.
What's his Social Security going to be, your husband's?
So if he just hits it right at the full retirement age, which should be basically the beginning of October, it would be about $2,500 a month.
October of next year?
No, this year.
This year.
That's when he's
in a month.
Retirement age.
That's
and how much will yours be if you started it today?
If I started it today, it would be about $2,500 a month.
How's your health?
It'd be about $2,400 a month. Health. Both of our health seemingly is great. Knock on wood.
I mean, so this year gives you a great window, obviously, to do Roth conversion because you have got no real income. You get a little bit of dividends from your brokerage account or whatever, but essentially very small income. So you can convert quite a bit. I think, I mean, if I were in your situation, I'd probably convert at least, you know, $80,000, if not, which would get you to the top of the 12% bracket. In Montana,
exactly
Montana, are they a 3% tax? What is the state income tax, Montana?
Oh, that sounds about right.
It's relative, 3 or 4%, I think, something on the relative list.
Yeah, you've got some room.
Or even
80 last year. Okay. Actually ended up doing about just under 90 last year.
That sounds about right.
Perfect. Yeah. You ran the numbers. Yeah.
Yeah, I
was just doing a, you know, you probably can't convert quite as much this year because your income, the interest you're receiving on your cash is much greater than it was last year. So that'll have some impact. So the question is, Pat, there's two things. Do you, one, just continue the Roth conversions in that tax bracket, or do you go up, which I don't think I would.
I'd defer.
I think I would do just what you're doing for the next few years and defer Social Security.
That's what I would do.
That's what I would do.
And
you're making a bet. You're making a bet on a few things.
What's the distribution from the inherited IRA every year?
$6,000.
You'd be making a bet on. I'm just thinking. Even, I mean, you're making a bet that Social Security is always going to be there for you if you're deferring it
and,
at that same level.
Yeah, and that's, I know, something you both have talked about. Yep. So that had got me thinking more. Should we just get it started, or where do we fall into the categories of are we the people that should get it started or not?
I might convert a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I might convert some up into the 22% tax bracket if I were in your situation.
Do you have a general ballpark game plan for, is there a percentage of Roths of the whole portfolio that makes sense to have a,
I mean, in a perfect world, every retirement dollar you have is in a Roth.
But
because it's tax free, right? But
that is
right.
If you had a third there, you'd be happy as heck.
It's really about the tax arbitrage. That's what you're trying to take advantage of, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Against the required minimum distributions.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you have the money in. Yeah. You have the money in the cash, the brokerage account to actually pay the tax on it. I would do it. I would. I don't know if Scott, if I would go to the 22%, but I most certainly would. We go to the top of the 12.
We're just making numbers up.
Yeah.
If I'm in your situation, I'm going to run the numbers and I'm going to say, based on some assumptions, what's this going to look like for me when I'm 70, 75, 80? And then you can make a truly educated guess.
Whether you should go, how far, if any, you should go into the next highest.
Because you might choose just take, turn on your husband's Social Security right away.
Yeah, do you think, I mean, I would love to just get your perspective on that.
Well, you've
heard us talk before.
Call our office. I'm going to put it straight out there.
Yeah.
Call our office. Uh-huh. Talk to an advisor. They'll charge you for a financial plan and they will answer your question spot on.
And you'll get some
understood.
They're going to charge you being us. We'll charge you for a financial plan. We will answer the questions to the penny.
Hey, Leslie, appreciated the call. Let's talk with Chuck in California. Chuck, you're with Allworth Money Matters.
Hello, Scott and Pat.
Hi, Chuck.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, just a brief background. I'll be 65 in October, Lord willing, of course. And I retired about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
In January, I closed out a defined benefit plan, and the positions were sold, it was liquidated, and the cash was transferred to my traditional IRA.
Were you self-employed?
I was, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, in the construction industry.
Okay.
So between that, that transaction and the sale of a rental home last year, I find myself with 50% of my portfolio in cash.
All right.
So,
and then you've watched the market take off this year and skyrocket.
Well, in January, everyone, but the majority of the talking heads were saying, you know, the recession, third quarter, interest rates will wind up dropping. Obviously, that hasn't.
Let me ask you a question. So your DB plan, how much money was in the DB, the defined benefit pension plan?
It was it was just over $1 million.
Okay, and that money was allocated, I assume, 60-40, 65, 35, something along those lines?
It was actually 30-70.
It was 30-70. And how long had it been 30-70?
Yeah, for about a year.
And what caused it to be 30-70?
Emotions.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to level set. And what were the proceeds from the sale of the house?
That was about close to 500. It was 500.
Okay. And so the $1 million that was in the DB plan got moved into an IRA, and the sale of the house got moved into a brokerage account, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. And so what's your question for us? And what is the other assets? So that's $1.5 million. I have another question. How much money in addition to that is there out there?
Well, in my IRAs, I have about almost $2 million.
Including the $1 million that just came in?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I've
got about $2 million in IRAs and then around $800 in a brokerage account.
Okay.
And overall, I'm sitting with about 50% in cash, and so I've spread that out in six CDs, which, you know, I'm planning for a 25-year, you know, horizon. So given that cash is a drag over time, you know, 5% is a little attractive right now. But I'm looking at when these CDs come due over the next 8 months. My question to you is dollar cost averaging those as they come due or as they mature, you know, investing those. Does 8 months horizon seem reasonable?
Dollar cost averaging is not a method we use to increase returns. Because if it did, then every time you're invested, you'd say, let's get it out of the market again and let's go dollar cost average back in, right? So it's designed to minimize the swings and to give you a little comfort if that's what's needed. You know, because markets go up more than they go down, most of the time you're better off just jumping in. But you've got these CDs. So my only question is, how are you going to put your plan together now so that the next time things look stormy, you don't reduce your stock exposure?
He's going to leave it, Scott. He's got to leave it 50% equities and never go above that.
No, actually, I'm looking to go 60-40 overall.
You can if you want.
60, you can 60, if you 40, want. But
I think
you have an advisor.
Yes, I do.
What'd the advisor tell you?
Well, he thought to, you know, as these come due, you know, invest, you know, put them into the market and look at to reach the 60-40 overall allocation.
I agree with your advisor, but the mere fact that you change your defined benefit plan to 30-70 is the thing that actually questions whether you're going to stay the course or not. It's not the portfolio, it's you.
Yeah.
No, right?
I get that, and I'm looking to stick it out for the long haul.
How many times have you done this in the past?
I haven't really. I have made a couple changes a number of years ago, so it's not
okay. You know,
the 30-70 was a reaction, and I saw that, and I saw that was a mistake.
And part of it was driven by the fact that you were just getting ready to retire, and you thought you needed the money, and there's an emotional state that you were going through.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. It's not uncommon.
And especially if you're self-employed, it becomes difficult. Like part of your identity is tied up in your business, right? And does any of this sound familiar?
Yeah. No, that's correct. I was just looking to.
I like the concept of you taking the, as the CDs mature, you use that cash to build the proper portfolio.
I like that too.
And if you've got an advisor that you trust and you mm-hmm. work well with, then I would follow that advisor's advice and figure out a way so that when the next storm comes, you can say, I could, because what ends up happening when typically people take a temporary decline and turn it into a permanent loss.
No, but it look, if it's 50-50 or 60-40, you'll be fine either way. But the most important thing is to build a portfolio that you're going to actually
live with.
And actually, as soon as it gets overweighted, you're going to let the advisor actually bring it back down into tolerance. So I like the idea of Scott, when the CDs come due, rebuild the portfolio the way it should be and let it live.
Take a quick break. Stick around for more Allworth's Money Matters.
Can't get enough of Allworth's Money Matters? Visit allworthfinancial.com/radio to listen to the Money Matters podcast.
Welcome back to Allworth's Money Matters. Scott Hansen.
Pat McClain.
Hey, before we go back.
Scott.
What?
Sorry to interrupt, but.
I'm pretty used to it.
You should be.
Okay.
30 years.
Yeah.
We have a Social Security workshop coming up.
Correct.
And I said, you know, we should read this promo right after this phone call from Leslie that happened.
You did state that.
Because she had all these questions about Social Security. And where did we finally end? Well, you've got to do the numbers. You've got to do the calculation. And I said, the marketing people want us to promote the Social Security workshop. This would be a perfect segue into the Social Security workshop. Because many of the listeners are thinking the same thing. When do I start it? Should I do a Roth conversion? And at the end of that call, we finally just said, well, this is what we'd probably do, but you have to run the numbers.
Yeah. And then you pitched our firm, which
I did. I don't do that. No, I know.
That's good. God, I get it.
We do make a living giving financial advice. That's how we get paid.
That is correct.
And I'm not embarrassed to.
No, of course not. I think what we do adds tremendous value to people's lives.
And that people, we should have. Avail, if they so desire, avail themselves to hiring us to on a one-time basis and an ongoing basis. But if you're not that person that wants to hire us, come to the free Social Security workshop.
Regardless, because look, the more educated you are, the better decisions you're going to make. Right? If you're dealing with a major medical issue, you're going to want to find the best doctor, but you're probably going to want to do some research as well.
That's
right. So you know the questions to ask.
So come to our website, take it for free. Come to the Social Security.
5 steps to unlocking Social Security. What you're going to learn, the Social Security questions many never ask but need answered. You're going to learn ways to use your benefit to create a retirement income. You're going to learn some smart taxation strategies. And you're going to learn some possible legislative changes that could impact your retirement age and spousal benefits. So, the webinars, Tuesday, September 19th. And Thursday, September 21st at noon. Again, Tuesday, September 19th, Thursday, September 21st at noon. So if you want to do it middle of the day, noon. Or Saturday, late morning on Saturday, September 23rd at 10 a.m. You want to learn more or sign up? Go to allworthfinancial.com/workshop.
And that's Pacific Times.
Pacific Time. So there you go.
Yep. Attend or don't. But it's free.
Or don't. Or don't. What do I care? All right. So we're going to, before we go back to the phones here, we're talking with Blake Davilar. And Blake is one of our advisors in the Tucson. He's in our Tucson office. And he's going to talk about a situation he dealt with a client. So, Blake, thanks for being part of the program today.
Pat, Scott, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And by the way, I love stories like Blake because he's an advisor that started, I believe you started as a college intern, right? So studied finance. Give us a quick background of your journey into this field.
Yeah, sure. This is the only real job I've ever had besides reffing basketball in high school. So, and by the way, this is a much better job for me than being a basketball ref. So I started at 20 years old as an intern with Brian here in our Tucson office, and was fortunate enough to get a full-time offer after being an intern for 2 years, and I've never looked back. So it started out in the back office, running a lot of those Social Security analysis and crunching all the numbers, as you guys were talking about a little earlier in the show. And now I'm doing it in front of clients, with clients, and helping them navigate the complexities of financial planning and taxes and all of these decisions that we deal with day in and day out. And you can say I hit the lottery in terms of finding a career.
It's a great. How many years now you've been with the organization?
8 years.
Okay.
Perfect.
I mean, I love younger advisors like this for a number of reasons. One, our clients love it because particularly if they've been with an advisor for years, the advisor starts getting up in age, and then they start thinking, wait a minute, like, what happens when my advisor retires? Like, anyway, we're glad you're part of the team. So tell us about a situation that you encountered.
Yeah. I came today with a story of what happened just a couple of months ago here. And this is very common, I would say, with new clients that show up at our door, either from a referral or they found us online or however they got into our office. They're typically there for a reason. And this client had 10 accounts, different IRAs, different taxable accounts, couple of Roths, couple of annuities, but the accounts were spread across 5 or 6 different financial institutions, you know, insurance companies, couple at a bank, couple at a large discount brokerage shop, you know, all over the place, with asset managers. And it was just a complicated mess, and they had no idea how any of the accounts were really being invested. And it was pretty clear off the front end that there was no cohesive strategy whatsoever. And they had some big life changes that were happening, which I'm happy to get into, that caused them to really want to take a step back and look at their priorities moving forward here in retirement, spending more time with a couple of family members dealing with some health problems. So they wanted to be able to travel more to visit their grandkids and help their family through this difficult time. And they were wondering where to go get the money. It was a big complicated mess, but it was a really good example, I think, of kind of the level of work that we can do diving into these different accounts, how they're invested, the tax implications. And lo and behold, here we are in almost September now, and they're in 3 accounts at one firm with a cohesive strategy. And, you know, it's just sort of a joy for me to see the relief on their face after our last meeting, them walking out of here knowing that they have the freedom to go do this, and they know exactly where the money's going to come from, what the impact's going to be, what, you know, cover the taxes, all of that. And it was just, I think, a great example of some of the peace of mind and confidence we can deliver, because they had the assets.
So Blake,
they just weren't sure how it all fit together.
So Blake, did you have any kind of, did they just go through and collect investments over life? Is that how it worked? Like they ran into, you know, someone, and someone said,
you know, 401k rollover, and they talked to someone here invested, and then here's this great product.
And then here and here. And is that how it worked?
Yeah. You know, salesman here, salesman there. You guys have been in the industry a long time, you know, so old 401k over there, an inheritance over here, a couple of annuities that they purchased 15 years ago that pretty much went nowhere for the better part of a decade. So yeah, they had assets spread across God's green earth and different financial institutions, and just had didn't really have a relationship with any one firm, right? They didn't really have a true advisor, in my opinion. They had a bunch of investment advisors, maybe, but nobody who really could answer these questions that they had around income and travel and where they're going to go get the money to go rent a townhome for 3 months to go visit family and stuff. And so they really needed somebody to dive into it and answer those questions.
And so Blake, oftentimes people come a couple years before retirement, right? Just the same kind of thing. So was this a retirement plan that they came to you for, or was it, and you don't have to, you know, you can kind of change some of the facts to keep some anonymity, but, or was this a health issue with a family member?
No, so they've actually been retired for a few years, and they've been living off of Social Security and some required minimum distributions from a couple of those old 401k accounts.
They were in their 70s.
Yeah, early 70s. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And their big thing was, how do they go get a townhome in Denver? because they have their daughter-in-law recently was diagnosed with some pretty serious health problems. And so they wanted to go help their son and their daughter-in-law with some of the child care and other responsibilities.
Sound like wonderful people.
Family, you know? So how could they go get a townhome, which, by the way, the real estate in Denver, as we all know, and the mortgage rates, et cetera, have gone through the roof. So if that was their big concern was, you know, how are we going to be able to afford this? And we ended up landing on like a kind of VRBO type situation to where, you know, maybe with this additional income that we can get from your investments when we have it all together in one place, you know, maybe you go do a VRBO for 3 months and then come back and kind of go back and forth that way. And, you know, you don't need to go out and buy a $700,000 townhome. You know, let's kind of take it 1 year at a time, 1 month at a time. And they seem to really resonate with them to go with a strategy like that.
I have made this very same recommendation to clients who were like, oh, I need to buy a house there. I'm like, you probably don't want to buy a house there. You probably want to rent in the time periods that you're there. So what made them seek you out? Were they referred in? Did they find us on the internet? How did they end up coming to Allworth?
They found us on the internet, which give them a lot of credit. In their 70s, poking around, trying to find a local advisor. That was important for them to work with somebody that they could meet face-to-face and sit down and go through all of this together. So they found us online and, yeah, met with them a few times to kind of, you know, it was a lot, 10 statements and, you know, going through the whole analysis process, looking at cost basis, had some annuity analysis done. But yeah, we were able to really consolidate it now. And, you know, I think the big thing too is that they had some annuities over here that were doing, you know, 2% guaranteed return. And then they had individual stocks over here with an asset manager. So there was like different risk profiles all over the place. And there was no cohesive strategy whatsoever. So in order to generate income, it's like, well, you know, as you guys know, if you have accounts all over the place doing different things, it's really hard for somebody in their 70s to know, like,
well, anyone. And were they, did they know what their net worth was before they visited you?
You know, on paper, yeah, they had the values and stuff, but that was about the extent of what they knew. I don't think they really understood how it was being invested.
Well, that is, it actually reminds me of, you know, I've been doing this a long time, about 27, 28 years. The lady showed up in my office with a box full of paper stock statements saying, you know, I've gotten these over these years.
Reinvestment plans.
Well, I looked at her tax return and I said, I think you own about $150,000 in stock. Where's it at? Just based on the dividends. And she said, how do you know that? And I said, well, I just backwards. This is the dividend. And these are the companies they came from. And I just did the math backwards. Where are they? And she came in with a box of stock certificates. And she said, I had no idea it was worth that much.
That's hilarious.
Right?
Yeah, you're the best advisor on the planet there, Scott. You know, you're pulling money out of left field.
Oh, God, I don't think it had anything to do with me. But thank you. Thank you.
Well, hey, Blake, thanks for taking a little time and sharing the story. And thanks for being part of Allworth.
Yeah, you bet, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Pat. So I still think it was at the start of this program I talked about the couple in our office with the college kid who wants to be a financial advisor and start talking about buying and selling stocks, right? And so, like, the reason what I like about Blake's story here is one of the things we talk with our advisors, we have 100 or so advisors at Allworth, like it's the ongoing guidance, it's the financial planning, the investment management, but it's the ongoing guidance for when life happens, whether it's external, the markets, or internal.
Changing your life circumstance.
Something in your life. So this is a prime example, something that you don't plan for. Suddenly it's your child's spouse with a major health issue that you're like, why don't we come alongside and help as they're going through this season?
What's interesting about this is that was the life event that actually caused them to seek out a financial advisor. The financial advisor wasn't already there. They had collected all the assets. So I think about all the years that they missed out on.
I know.
Where they could have been doing Roth conversions,
or could have been in just such better shape and had much more confidence in their finances.
Yeah.
And I think it is, I think, Pat, people, they avoid our profession because there's so many lousy.
Do you blame them?
Unless they know someone who to go to talk to, I can understand why they stay away from my profession. Yep. It's we have a bad reputation, and it's well earned.
Yes.
As you know, lumping.
Yes.
Wall Street or investments.
And the average consumer might not be able to tell the difference between us and Wall Street. Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, again, glad to have Blake on. Let's take some calls now. We're in Texas talking with Pam. Pam, you're with Allworth Money Matters.
Hi, guys. I'm in Dallas, Texas now.
All right. Good.
I was there.
Like you're in Dallas.
I was there last week. It was warm.
It's 104 right now.
Nice and cool.
Okay. Y'all are on the line.
We are. What can we do to help?
I'm your sister or your mother.
All right.
I have some about to retire. My husband's retiring a year before I do, 9/11 this year. Our second thing is we have two homes paid for, so we're going to sell one and move to our lake house, and I'm going to get probably $500,000 off that house.
Okay.
What is the best plan? Because I want to also move. I'm not real happy with where our money that's been growing over the years is. It's like with Edward Jones' office.
Okay.
So, of course, they've, you know, been in the tank for a while. And so we're looking
Wait, slow.
It's been in the tank.
Slow.
Okay.
It's been in the tank for a while. Like, what's a while? Like the last 6 months?
It's 22. It started in 22.
Yeah, but have you had some recovery this year?
It has recovered some, but I think we took about a 30% hit on that. And it looks like it's up about 20 since then. So,
okay. All right. Well, then your statement sounds correct. It doesn't sound like a very diversified portfolio. Okay.
So you have an advisor that you've been working with that you think it's time to find a new one.
Yeah. Okay. And so just what's the steps? You know, what do we need to do? Do we need to interview people? I don't need to make big gains. I just don't like losing money. You know, like.
And you, are you comfortable with the idea that you have enough money to retire comfortably?
I can't. I guess so. Yeah.
So you're my sister. You're my sister. Here's what I'm going to tell you. First of all, if you head into retirement with a strategy saying I never want to see a decline in my portfolio, unless you have tons of money, you're going to run into a problem with inflation down the road. So I'd say you're going to have to get comfortable with having some piece of your portfolio fluctuate in value, which means that at some point in time, it's going to go down in value. You're going to have to get comfortable with that. Second, find an advisor that you can trust, and to the point where when you want to do something that's to your portfolio that's not going to be helpful, they will say, Pam, you don't do that. That's not going to be good for you. Follow my advice on this instead. You need that kind of level of trust. And I would find an advisor, one, by maybe asking some – I'd interview three.
Scott, you would actually pay for your sister to have a financial plan done at Allworth. That's what you would do.
Well, of course I would. Yeah, but I'm trying to act not so.
No, objectively, but she called, and Pam wants to know, I'm your sister, I'm your mother, what should I do? And the answer is, get a financial plan done.
And the plan will so look, here's what your retirement's going to look like, here's where your income's going to come from, here's when you consider to take Social Security, here's what your taxes are going to be, here's some steps to minimize those taxes, here's how your portfolio should be allocated.
Here's how much money that you should be taking out a month. Is that enough for you to live on? Yes, no, too much? Those are what it's going to ask. Going to ask you a bunch of questions and then answer it. So essentially, it's a roadmap. It is a roadmap, a retirement plan. And by the way, the retirement plan, the minute it's done, it's obsolete. But it doesn't
the
mean
the markets change.
Yeah, and you change, but it doesn't mean that it didn't have any value. It gives directional, like this is. So if you added up all your assets, everything you owned, including the $500,000 that from the sale proceeds and the sale of the home, how much money would you have in your suitcase if you added it all up?
Well, if I took all my money that's invested with Edward Jones and then the house I'm going to sell.
That's right.
We're bumping at $1 million. And then the house, our lake house, is about another $500,000. So.
And is the lake house paid for?
They're both paid for.
Yeah.
So you'd have $1 million. You'd have $1 million. And how much money do you think you need to live on in retirement?
Well, I think our Social Security will bring in about, before they take out for Medicare, the gross is about $7,500 a month.
Okay, and how much money do you think you need to live on?
I really don't need much more than that.
Okay,
everything
perfect.
Paid for.
Perfect. Yeah. Go get a financial plan done.
Well, we are out of time. It's been so great being here with you. We'll see you again next week. This has been Scott Hansen, Pat McClain, Allworth Financial.
This program has been brought to you by Allworth Financial, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice. You should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.